All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pellegrini Financial Investment Planning Council first quarter conference call, time of turbulence or jubilance. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcombe. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcombe.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everybody to our first quarter conference call for 2018. And yes, it is a time of turbulence, and it is also a time of jubilance. I'm not sure, but we'll find out. So delving right into it, I guess we had a pretty strong year through 2017 from a market perspective, and equity markets were strong pretty much across the board. And that positive momentum kind of carried on into the first quarter of 2018 here, certainly through the month of January and into the first part of February a little bit. And then, of course, we started to incur all the turbulence in the markets going forward. And from that point, of course, we had a pretty big drop in the market through the rest of February, March. And then into April here, of course, there's been a bit more turbulence of up and down, where we have a mixed bag of news and a mixed bag of markets. But that turbulence really started, like I said, in early February, and a lot of things impacted that or created that. Part of that, of course, was a feeling of markets being overextended to some degree after a good year in 2017. So they were trying to take a bit of the frothiness out of the markets. Rate hikes, of course, were on the books for both Canada and the U.S. That always is a bit of a concern for markets short term. Global central bank policy essentially is a continuation of tightening across the board. Of course, geopolitical risks, trade wars between U.S., China, of course, U.S. and Europe, NAFTA, of course, which is still on the table for ourselves here. And that caused a lot of this fluctuation in the markets, and it took a bit of the wind out of the sails, I guess, when we came into February and March. And I think, you know, once that downside hit to the market a little bit, that also gets compounded by those institutions or hedge funds that tend to be more highly leveraged, that borrow to invest. And, of course, as you have a falling market and rising interest rates, there tends to be a compounding factor there where margin calls have to be met, and, of course, some forced selling is required by some of those institutions. And that's also partly what happened through the early part of this first quarter. From our core positions, you know, and how we've managed our mandates for our clients, you know, we continue to be essentially underweight on the Canadian market and continue to be overweight on the global U.S. and both the international emerging markets, and that's helped how we've managed to weather this more recent storm. And I think when we look at the Canadian market in particular, the financials, of course, were down, but more so just limited upside with some of those types of stocks, so the big banks and the big insurance companies, which is predominant in our Canadian market. Energy, of course, was down, even though, you know, with the higher price of oil, and of course, we've just touched upon $70 a barrel here recently too, but that would normally be a positive for energy stocks. But this go-around at this point in time anyways, it hasn't had any impact. And look at energy actually was down through this first quarter, as it was in the U.S. market as well. But I think that's more, at this point, a function of I don't think a lack of confidence, I suppose, in whether that $70 price holds or not. I mean, right now, we'll get back into that here later on in our commodities, but I think the feeling is that that's not a sustainable number, and accordingly, the prices haven't moved for those stocks that are directly related to the oil and gas market. Like I said, in the U.S., energy, of course, was down as well, and that sector is one that's still slogging through, I guess, in regards to earnings and in regards to becoming in favor again is probably the biggest thing. What has driven the U.S. market in particular, of course, has been consumers, either consumer staples or consumer goods. Especially, though, IT has been the very strongest sector of the economy, and that pretty much translates into whether it's European market, Canadian market, Asian market. IT has really driven these markets over the last few years and drives a lot, probably more so than what people think in everyday life of what we do and how we do things. So the IT, of course, which if you're familiar with markets and the FANG stocks, which is the Facebooks and Amazon, Apple, Netflix and Google and so on, they're all becoming a more prominent feature in the indexes. Like I said, obviously more prominent in everyday life for all of us, but certainly have been driving the stock markets and continue to do so. International, of course, has been strong as well. That's just based more so on their emerging economies, I guess, that do well when we have economic growth that has been strong throughout the globe, one end to another, and they've benefited from that. When we look at the overall gross domestic product and how we fare Canada, again, we are continuing to see positive growth, and that's one thing I think that was obviously strong in providing solid returns in 2017, but also what we expect to drive the market this year is really a concerted overall global economic growth throughout every economy. There isn't really one economy that you can say is stagnant or going backwards. I mean, we're seeing strong growth in Canada. We're still expecting 2% plus GDP, led by Alberta and led by BC, and then to some degree Saskatchewan and Ontario. But even European growth is going to be over 2%, or at least the expectation is. U.S. stronger at over 2.5% growth, and certainly, again, those Asian economies like China and India, where we have 6-7% growth accordingly, those are all, again, strong indicators and a strong foundation to drive current markets. So when we look at how this is impacting the markets, that's a positive, right? So for as much turbulence is going on, strong economic fundamentals is certainly a positive to markets. What is weighing a little bit would be also interest rates. So interest rates is something where obviously for our clients who like to invest in GICs and have a bit of cash flow security and so on, we've actually seen a bump in those interest rates, which has been great to see finally after 10 years or more. But interest rates to the economy is going to be, I guess, positive news in the sense that the central banks feel that there's enough strength in the economy to weather interest rate hikes, and so that's a good thing overall. It does increase the cost of borrowing for different corporations and so on, and I think those that are, again, on sound foundations, that's something that's not a big deal. For those that are struggling, well, that's going to impact, right? That's going to have an impact on those kind of companies, and you might see default rates start to climb on those high-yield components of our portfolios. So that is something that will certainly be keeping a watch on. Again, we've had a couple of rate increases, both in Canada and the U.S. over the last year or two. We've each had one here again this current year, and we certainly would expect more rate rises in the U.S. In Canada, you know, I think certainly the expectation is for another rate increase here somewhere later in the summer or early fall. I think there's certainly going to be more caution with the Bank of Canada in raising rates, in the sense that right now there's over basically $2 trillion of household debt in Canada. You know, a lot of it home mortgage, a lot of it, of course, line of credit, personal line of credits. And that weighs certainly on the Bank of Canada decisions, or should. The consumer, of course, is a economy for us, I guess, that is a lot more consumer-driven. And when your debt servicing rises, well, that takes money out of consumer pockets. So back into the economy and spending, whatever it might be. The other part of that is that $2 trillion of household debt. I know earlier there was a report that had home mortgages, basically almost 50% of them this year would be renewing. So renewing in the 2018 calendar year, that's a pretty big number. And I think, you know, that's where the Bank of Canada will be a little bit more cautious on how fast and how much they raise rates. Just because the consumer, I think, would have a tough time swallowing too big of an increase. So interest rates, like I said, from a client perspective and GICs, they're happy to see some higher returns on GIC rates, but it is going to be tougher on those that are borrowing because we have, as I said, has a few couple rate increases already and a few more coming down the road. Commodity-wise, like I mentioned earlier, we have oil that actually have touched upon $70 WTI pricing, which is generally good news. Like I said, it hasn't really translated into the stock prices of our oil and gas companies, but it is a positive. I think where the oil, again, is struggling a little bit is much of that pricing, of course, has been on the back of some geopolitical issues. So the concern, of course, of the U.S. perhaps pulling out of the Iran nuclear deal, which means Iran's oil supply would be cut back in the global supply. Venezuela, of course, has struggled mightily with their socialist government and keeping their production up, and it's been dropping continually over the last number of years to near record lows, I guess. So that is taking again supply out of the marketplace, which is supporting that price. Of course, what impacts that too is the more this price goes up, of course, the more that the U.S. shale tends to turn on the taps or drill more and more. So, you know, that's turning the U.S. into a more net supplier for the world oil supply and not a net buyer. And that's obviously changed the dynamics of it. Of course, the OPEC nations are still looking to hold their supply, I guess, or production to a cap number, which they've been pretty diligent at keeping. You know, we haven't seen any countries kind of break ranks there and start producing more than they're supposed to. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are supporting that $70 price that all of a sudden can go by the wayside, and all of a sudden we have a number of excess supply again in the marketplace. So that's where I think the $70 oil is precipitous, I guess, in where it's sitting right now. And like I said, it is a good number, but whether it holds or not, that's the question, I think, for the markets. When we look at market locally, of course, I mean, the issue, of course, with oil, of course, is pipeline capacity, and that's an issue that's not just localized in Canada and BC. It's the same issue in Keystone with Nebraska, and same thing with Line 3 in Minnesota. You always have these local groups that hang things up for a while, but I would expect that most of these things happen regardless as time goes by. It's just hopefully the delays are not longer than they should be. When we look at some of the metals, and gold and silver in particular, both have been kind of stagnant or flat. Haven't really seen much change in gold for a number of years now. From its peak back in 2011, it's kind of trended downwards and then found a floor at $1,200-$1,300, and that's where it stays today. When we look at some of the base metals, minerals, you know, copper and nickel are up, which is good news because those are more industrial type of metals, and that means when they're up, that means economic growth is growing. There's demand for those industrial metals, and that's a positive. Inflation-wise, we've seen inflation finally creep up across most of the globe, especially in the U.S. We've seen it rise a little bit here in Canada, and even Europe has some positive inflation, which is good news. There is some need for an inflation amount, I guess, and they are getting more into their targets. That 1% to 3% range of inflation, that's more so what we're seeing now, 2%, a bit more maybe in the U.S., and it's finally coming from more than just consumer goods. It's wage pressures are the biggest thing that's coming up in the U.S. that is biting into or improving inflation, so that's a positive as a whole at the moment. Of course, inflation is something that the central banks always want to try to keep a lid on. They want some positive inflation growth, but they do want to keep a lid on it, and that's where interest rates also come into play. As inflation rises more and more, they'll use interest rate increases to help keep a lid on that because, again, they do want to cap that. But we are seeing some positive inflation growth globally, and, again, that's generally a good thing. We're seeing a bit of runaway inflation in areas like South America and a bit of Africa, but that's kind of standard in those kind of regions. Currency-wise, the dollar's kind of become a bit more range-bound recently for the Canadian dollar. Again, the price of oil sometimes or quite often dictates the price of our dollar, but again, that current oil price really hasn't had a big change or impact on our dollar currently. Again, now if we see that $70 threshold stand up and carry on, well, maybe we'll see that dollar rise accordingly. But right now, it's been kind of range bound in those high 70s area, and that's fine for the time being. The U.S. dollar, of course, continues to be the strongest dollar. And while it was strong over the last couple of years, we've seen the current year the dollar trend down a little bit. A couple factors for that. I think that's where you've seen, of course, U.S. tax changes and the repatriation of all these savings that were held across or overseas brought back to the U.S. That's something that's impacted the dollar. The debt load of the U.S. government, both federally mainly is what I'm talking about here, I guess, but where, again, the tax cuts were, I guess, positive for corporations, of course, but leaves a hole in government coffers. So, again, that hole can only be filled by borrowing. So now we have a lot more, of course, U.S. debt that's coming onto the market. So trying to sell U.S. dollars, that's going to bring the dollar down a little bit. And I think the other part of that is where, the last couple of years we've seen a bit more currency wars out there between European nations, Asian nations, North America. We've seen a lot of that kind of dry up, where Europe is not really fighting which direction the euro goes. Japan is fighting a little less in which way the yen goes. Same with the Chinese government. So with the currency wars kind of subsiding a little bit, it's now allowing a lot of these currencies just to float normally to what direction they would go. I think the one thing, of course, that'll be good for the U.S. dollar or strengthening to the U.S. dollar would be the fact that if their interest rates continue to rise, that becomes more attractive. And, of course, in some respects, they kind of have to keep raising rates to help sell this debt shortfall that they're going to have through the current year and the next year while they have this big hole to fill from the tax cuts. So from a dollar currency standpoint, we don't see a much change in the Canadian dollar, I don't think. And then from an investment perspective, our managers will hedge the currencies based on what they see as relevant or not in regards to any currency movements. So the outlook going forward, covered a lot of stuff here quickly. And, we are seeing certainly a lot more turbulence, and that's something to expect going forward, even through the rest of this year. I think that's partly the fact that we're in a bull market now that's been going on since 2009. We've had a couple corrections through that time, so that doesn't mean it's been a straight upward market since then. We've had a number of pullbacks that have been healthy pullbacks, but we are still in a bull market. And the longer that goes, the more volatility we'll see towards the end of that. But so that's part of it. We're also going to see it based on midterm elections coming up in the U.S. That always sets the markets on a little bit of edge. And it doesn't really matter necessarily which party wins, control of the House here in the fall in the U.S., but the markets like to know, they like certainty. So they like to know, okay, whatever government is winning the House, fine, they'll deal with it. But until that happens, till that election happens, there's always going to be extra volatility in the market based on whatever polls come out and whatever political comments are made. So that's going to be part of it. Of course, again, rising interest rates are going to have a part of that as well. Trade policies are going to impact the markets based on, again, which direction trade goes. So a lot of those things are going to cause a lot of turbulence in these markets over the summertime. But behind it all is a lot of strong economic growth, strong GDP numbers across the board. Like I said, there really isn't a region that is weak or that is not creating some positive growth. And that, in a nutshell, is what, I guess, from a jubilant standpoint, is something that we should be jubilant about, because that is going to be a basis for what I feel would be economic growth and stock market growth over the next year. And I think that's still the outlook of most of our managers, where 2018 will continue to be a positive year. even though right now we're kind of treading water, there will be certainly a lot more turbulence. But behind it all is strong economic fundamentals, which will drive markets going forward. Like I said, strong economic numbers, strong employment, strong earnings, especially from the IT side of the economies that aren't falling by the wayside, right? Like I said, there's a lot of fundamentals underneath it all that supports it. So with that, I think I'll wrap things up, and I hope everyone found a few nuggets of information out of this call. And if any time you have some questions or comments or want to discuss markets with Perry or Parker or myself, certainly feel free to call in, and we'll discuss it with you. So once again, thank you for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye for now.